Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 1 of our study of Mark. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Mark 8, 1-21. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word to be reading today from the NIV. This is Mark 8, starting in verse 1. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." As his disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them and also told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into a boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. So what we have here is we have a second miracle, a second creative miracle, if you will, where the Lord is making bread appear out of thin air, basically. I mean, somehow the bread and the fish, they're multiplying. Nobody understands how this works. I don't understand how this works. I've seen people try to explain how this works. I don't believe any of them. I don't think anybody knows exactly how this works. I mean, there are atoms and molecules and matter. You know, where did it come from? Did it get sucked out of the air like a tree? You know, trees actually get all of their mass from the carbon dioxide in the air. Is that what happened here? Like, how on earth did this work? It's incredibly fascinating. How on earth does Jesus do these things? But we're going to see here in just a little bit that the point of telling this story, it seems like in the Gospels, this might have actually happened 3 times. Who knows? Maybe it happened more. But the point that there's a reason why Mark is telling this story. We're going to get to it very, very shortly with them on this boat. But, it's just amazing to think about the fact that the Lord has done this twice now in pretty rapid succession, at least from our perspective. There's weeks and months maybe in between these events, but you know, when you're thinking back on miracles like this, 5,000 people with 12 basketfuls, 4,000 people with 7 basketfuls left over, this is remarkable. This is absolutely remarkable. All right, let's continue and get to the point as to why Mark is telling us this story in particular. Verse 11. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he left, got back in the boat, and crossed over to the other side. Now, it's not clear if this is the exact same time that the other Gospels talk about where, you know, he says that, you know, no sign but the sign of Jonah. I have a feeling that it's not. Feel pretty confident that it's not. I have a feeling that when you know, it tells us that they asked him for a sign, I think they did this on multiple occasions, many occasions. And the reason is because this is a very natural question for them to ask. Moses said, you know, a prophet in the Old Testament was going to come bearing signs. He even said that there would be people in, you know, people that would come that were not prophets from God, but they could even come with their own signs. They could actually come bearing signs, and that if they preached any other gospel or any other message than the one that Moses preached, if they preached of any other God, he said, even if they come and they have signs from heaven, he says, don't listen to them, don't believe them. And so the point of a sign, we've talked about this before in the podcast, but what a sign is it's something that only God can control, right? Snowing in the middle of summer, that doesn't happen. That would be a sign. And you know, it's outside of man's control. And so that would be, something, that would be considered a sign. It's staying daylight an extra 4 hours. That happened with Joshua. That would be considered a sign. Earthquakes, things, if you can predict an earthquake, that's a sign, because nobody can predict an earthquake. Even with all of our instrumentation, we can say, it looks like there's tremors on the increase. So sometime in the next year, there might be an earthquake, but then sometimes it happens and sometimes the tremors stop and things go back to normal and the earthquake doesn't happen. Right. So even now, with all of our science, all of our technology, we still can't predict those kinds of things. Another sign would be, Moses, steps into the Red Sea and it parts. Nobody can do that. That's a sign from God that Moses was, chosen by God for this. Joshua steps into the Jordan River and it parts. All of these kinds of things are signs. And so they're asking Jesus, what is your sign? You're coming. You weren't trained by us. We didn't teach you and you're not coming through our authority. So you must be appealing to some higher authority, to God's authority. And so if that's the case, according to Moses, they're saying you should come bearing a sign from heaven to show that you are approved by God himself. And Jesus gives us very strange answers. He says, no sign will be given to you. And then again, no sign but the sign of Jonah, which was him, going into the earth, dying basically, and then 3 days later being resurrected. And Jonah died in that fish. He was dead. There's no oxygen to breathe for 3 days inside of a fish or a whale. It's not like Pinocchio, Disney's Pinocchio, where there's this giant cavern inside the whale and they can breathe and have campfires and the boats in there. It doesn't work like that. I mean, there's acid and there's no oxygen. I mean, it's a terrible environment. You can't survive in that. Jonah was dead in the same way that Jesus was dead and resurrected, spit back up onto the land. Jesus was given back forth into the land of the living. And so that was the sign. And, well, that's a weird sign. They're probably thinking of the sign of Jonah. That's not even a sign, dude. What are you talking about? Anyway, so it's perfectly appropriate for them to ask this here. The problem is not that they asked for a sign. The problem is they've already seen Jesus do things that humans can't do. People can't multiply bread. All of these, so many of these things. People can't raise people from the dead. I mean, some miracles can be faked. Sometimes, a blind person can see, you could find a ringer. You could find someone who is not actually blind, but they can say they're blind and they're healed. You can't see through their eyes, so you don't know. Right. So that's a miracle if you're cynical enough that can be faked. But the multiplying of bread, all of these things, these can't be done by people. These are miraculous. These are signs in and of themselves. And immediately after that, they're asking him for a sign. So really the problem is they're saying all of the signs you've already done, we don't believe them because we don't like you. So show us another sign right now. And Jesus is like, no. No, only a wicked generation like you would ask for a sign after all that you've already seen. I believe that's where Jesus is driving to. Let's continue on. Verse 14. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for the one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. Verse 20, "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" Jesus is saying the yeast, the leaven of the Pharisees doesn't have anything to do with bread. I'm not talking about that. And this is the reason why Mark was giving us this story. at this time, because this conversation happens not immediately afterwards, but probably a couple of days later. And sometimes a couple of days is all it takes for us to forget the amazing things that the Lord has done for us in our lives. And so they've just had the second miraculous multiplying of food. Jesus can make bread appear out of thin air. And Jesus gets in the boat and he's like, beware of the leaven, you know, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And I'm like, oh man, we forgot to bring bread. He's, you know, he's kind of doing his kind of secret, weird coded language thing where he's telling us we should have brought bread, and he's kind of chastising us for it. And Jesus is like, no, I'm not chastising you for bringing bread. He's like, do you think I need you to bring bread? I mean, Jesus is in essence saying, do you think I need anything from you? Do I need shelter? Do I need money? Do I need food from you? It's like, you came to me with nothing and I prayed over it, and thousands of people, thousands upon thousands of people ate. Jesus is saying, do you think that I need you to bring anything? And I imagine the disciples probably scratched their chins. It's like, huh, hadn't thought about it like that before. You know, the other gospels tell the same story, and they tell us is like their minds were still dark and the Holy Spirit hadn't come on them yet. They still didn't understand all of these things fully. And that later they understood that Jesus was talking about the teaching of the Pharisees, the things that they did. And so there's so much wickedness. And we've already discussed things like Korban, some of these really aberrant teachings that the Pharisees had. And there's some really aberrant teachings. I mean, Korban is one of them. It's one of the more egregious ones. But there's some really aberrant teachings that they espoused. Not all of them were aberrant. Some of them were good. Some of them were like, eh. And some of them were really, really bad. And so Jesus is telling them, watch out for all of this really awful stuff that will work its way through all of the bread, through your soul, through your heart. Like, be careful what you hear, be careful what you ingest, be careful what you listen to and take heart of. That's what he was getting at. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.